You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, October 14th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Can you believe we're halfway through the month of October? This year, I'm telling you, it's going to be Christmas. It's going to be Christmas before you know it. They probably already have the Christmas decorations up at the store. It's already that time of year. Thank you for joining us to kick off your work week. And I've successfully managed to avoid talking very much about American politics because it's so clownish and silly and not real. But today we're gonna go ahead and circle back to it. That big story came out over the weekend, and supposedly they arrested another guy, another assassination attempt against Donald Trump. And my first hint when this story dropped that something was up here is then you read that then they released the guy on like $5,000 bail. They had this over-the-top story. This guy had forged press credentials and illegal guns, and he's a crazy crackpot kook. And they, our hero, America's heroes, managed to prevent him from getting into the Trump rally. And then you read further down in the article, and it's like they later released him on $5,000 bail. And, he'll probably have to go to court sometime next year. And you're like, well, that doesn't add up. But nothing in clown world ever adds up because it's always a lie. And then we're here just the next day, and I'm starting to read more details. And it looks like the whole thing is pretty much just a overhyped, blown up post. Apparently this guy was like basically invited to come there by the Trump campaign people. Not really good idea to bring all your guns with you because you think you need it for self-defense. It's something that's locked down like that. But nevertheless, this whole narrative they immediately attempted to construct once again quickly fell apart. And you're seeing that more now. These fake narratives they try to build up, they're falling apart faster and faster and faster. Used to, they were better at it. Used to, they could create these narratives and they would hold water for a little bit. And then when they started falling apart, they could just, move on to the next thing. Now, the narratives are falling apart faster, just like within 24 hours of their attempts to construct them. We've got, speaking of false narratives, the narratives like these, these elections, American politics, it's just so, if you don't live in this country, you don't realize how ridiculous it all really, it really has become laughable. And with the events of the past year, especially the notion that these politicians work in any way, shape, or form for the American people is now completely discarded. I always say one of the reasons I don't care very much about talking about it is because at this point it's so obvious that if somebody doesn't get it, they're either like clinically retarded, not like retarded in the insulting way, like you call somebody a retard. I mean, literally, like if they took a test, the expert testing them would say, well, this person is mentally retarded, that level of stupid. Or they do see it, but they're just willfully ignoring it. They don't want to see it. Well, if somebody is willfully ignoring reality, you're wasting your time pointing out reality. They see the reality. They just don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to acknowledge reality around them. They're just living intentionally in a fantasy world. There's no point. There's no point in trying to reach someone like that. Just a few short years ago, when you if and when you chose to point out that these American politicians, they work for the Israel lobby. That's what they care about. They don't work for you. You'd be dismissed as an anti-Semitic, evil anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. But see, not so much now. You know, see, back then you pointed out, and there was still kind of the curtain hanging over the Wizard of Oz in there. And people could still play along and say, oh, no, that's just anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. I mean, there's all kinds of lobby groups. Wait, look at the NRA. Look at all of these other lobby groups. These politicians, yes, there's too much money in politics. The problem is the money in the politics. You've got lots of lobby groups. You're just singling out outfits such as AIPAC because of your anti-Semitism. But see, such is not the case now. In current year. See, we've had a year now of watching Israel do what they do and watching American politicians react the way they do. This slavishness, loyalty to a foreign country. And it's always funny to me, still, I'll read articles by people who you can tell have a certain amount of intelligence, and they will sit here and act like this is a mystery. Why do they do this? Why do these politicians so slavishly have this slavish loyalty to what should be an American Empire client state? I read an opinion piece the other day, and the premise of it was, it may really look like Israel controls the U.S. government, but you see, you're wrong. You're wrong. You see, this is actually the American Empire government making it look like they're being controlled by Israel, because they actually want Israel doing what Israel's doing to the American government's benefit. Of course, they can't ever really point out how this benefits the American empire, much less the American people. But that was the premise. It just looks like these politicians are all bought and paid for by the Israel lobby. It's all in your mind. Now, again, here you have a situation, you know, this obviously you can discount the whole they're stupid and retarded possibility, because obviously the person isn't. So either they're willfully not seeing it, or in this case, because they're writing an article, putting this out there, trying to plant this idea, they're shilling. You know, they're running cover. These things, when you that look complicated, when you really bear down on them and start breaking them down into bite-sized pieces, you find out pretty quick that actually it's not that complicated. You got two possibilities here. The person's obviously not stupid. The writing's okay, and the sentence structure, things such as that. They're well-read. You could tell that. But when they come up with a premise like this, there's only two possibilities. They are either willfully not seeing the obvious, or they're shilling. Somebody's paying them, and they're shilling to muddy the waters and put this out there. Which of the two it is, I don't know. I don't know what goes on. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what goes on in someone's minds, but I'm also not going to ignore the obvious. Speaking of obvious, I've actually brought a news story, and this is from a website called informationliberation.com. I don't know anything about these people. This is the first time I think I've ever used anything from their site, but I was looking, I'd heard about this story, and I was looking for a source, and this was a pretty good wrap-up of this story. And the headline is, Senator Lindsey Graham pivots to Israel after being asked about Hurricane Helene victims. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham on Thursday pivoted away from discussion on the poor treatment of Hurricane Helene victims to demand more aid for Israel. I've been going all, I'm not going to read this part because it's a quote, and I've got the actual video quote here, and I'm going to play it for you, and you can hear it in Senator Graham's own words.
You can thank Donald Trump and Elon Musk for that.
But look, you know, I've been going all over South Carolina like most people. I hadn't slept much. But look what's going on in Israel. Our friends in Israel are surrounded by people that want to kill them, destroy them, a second Holocaust in the making. And Biden says, be proportional. What is the proportional response to people who want to kill you and your family? God. They're running out of ammunition in Israel. We have to help our friends to keep the war over there from coming here.
Now, that's something to listen to, isn't it? You're talking about the hurricane victims in our own country. In the state that this guy supposedly represents, okay? This happens in the state that he supposedly is representing the people of. We've had this disaster, and these people who have lost everything, they're wiped out. And you've got just this utter devastation. And this guy chooses this moment to sit there on national TV and lament that we need to do more for Israel. I mean, that is where his priority. In other words, he went into this interview knowing it's going to be about hurricane victims in America. And he makes the conscious decision to use this as once again an opportunity to pivot the discussion about how we need to do more for Israel. That's not even making your own people take a back seat. This is just using them as a stage prop, as a launching point. Hey, this will be a great opportunity. Yeah, it's really bad what's happened to these people. But hey, let me tell you once again about Israel. There's no way to make that make sense. There's no way to square that circle. There's no way to fill that blank. There's no way to understand this except these people, these politicians, are bought and paid for by the Israel lobby. I mean, they're on the tape. They're bought and paid for. How else do you explain it? This slavish loyalty. It's not ideological. These people don't believe in anything. It's this slavish reaction, the slavish, to sit there and say, okay, well, if we're talking about things in the Middle East and this guy wants to go off on this, you can at least say, well, you know, the discussion is Middle East politics and what's going on there. Okay, he's going to use that as an opportunity to shill for even more money and weapons for Israel. But to use, when you go on national TV, the topic is hurricane victims in your own state, and you use that as an opportunity to launch off into, yeah, but what about Israel? What about Israel, though? Continuing on here, Graham also lamented that Biden has been, quote, slow walking weapons to Ukraine. Graham made the same pivot on Twitter earlier this week, saying Congress needs to, quote, reconvene to pass a supplemental aid package for the damage done to the southeast by Hurricane Helene, and also to provide missile defense assistance to Israel, which is under attack from the Iranian regime. Now, which of those two things do you think means more to Lindsey Graham? Maybe you got hurricane. We need to reconvene Congress to talk about hurricane relief and more weapons and money and missile defense for Israel. Out of those two things brought up, which do you think really matters? Which do you think is just kind of a backdrop excuse, and which do you think is the primary thing? If you went to Lindsey Graham and you said, hey, Lindsey, we've got a kajillion dollars here, but we can only send it to one place. The people in your allegedly owned state who've been wiped out by a hurricane, or to Israel. Is there anybody with a pulse and a functioning brain in this country who would have to sit there and not know what the answer to that question, that hypothetical question, would be? To where this man's priorities are. To try to lump the two together, they have nothing to do with one another. Like I say, if the discussion is Middle East policy and whether or not the U.S. government should be supporting, and to what extent supporting Israel and whatnot, then fine. You know, he's going to shill it. You know, he's going to shill it. It's like if the question is whether or not to go to war, let's ask John Bolton what he thinks. You already know what he thinks because he's told you what he thinks over and over again. Does it take a wild guess? If the topic is Middle East politics and Israel, you already know what Lindsey Graham thinks. You know where he's going to go. You know where he's going to fall on that. But to sit there when the topic isn't even that, when the topic is people in your own country who have now faced this utter disaster, and not a disaster, by the way, of their own making. That's the other thing. Our allies in Israel are under attack by the Iranian regime. Well, because they keep attacking the Iranian regime. Maybe, just maybe, if you wouldn't go around attacking your neighbors, they wouldn't fight back. How about that? I love how these people always, these shills, they always will sit there and act like poor innocent Israel.
poor innocent Israel just sitting there trying to be the only democracy in the Middle East.
I can't lisp like you do.
The only democracy in the Middle East and promoting our democracy values of who they are. And look at this, the Iranian, the mullahs in Iran. Keep a look, it's a second, he says he brings, it's like this word salad of conservative pro-Israel evangelical bumper sticker slogans. It's like another Holocaust. You got the Holocaust shoehorned in there. All these people surrounding them, wanting to kill them. They're just surrounded by all these people that want to kill for no reason. It's meme worthy, isn't it? It's like, okay, Israel launches all these multiple attacks on all these different countries around them while genociding the Palestinians. And then when someone finally launches some missile back at them, not a civilian targets, you notice they never point that out. Like they always, all of these missiles that get launched back at Israel are always at army bases, the Mossad headquarters. Israel, on the other hand, uses all these American weapons and bombs to bomb apartment buildings, hospitals, refugee camps. And then after doing this, when they get some missiles lobbed back at their military installations, there's the U.S. government going, look at poor Israel. Poor Israel, they've just been attacked for no reason. And we're supposed to buy this. Moreover, we're supposed to buy this idea that these politicians represent us. And this is why we should take these elections oh so seriously. Who the hell in South Carolina is going to vote for Lindsey Graham? And yet he's there. Over and over. Why is it that somebody who should be so incredibly unpopular, like Lindsey Graham, if elections are real, why is he there? Who's voting for this guy? And yet, there he is, just like magic. See, because your voting matters so much. Returning to the rest of the article, over the past 3 months, Graham introduced multiple bills aimed at launching a war with Iran for threatening Israel's security and said on August 1st that, quote, now is the time to, quote, go on offense against Tehran. In 2021, Graham flew to Israel to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and literally held up I'd forgotten about this, and literally held up a sign demanding, quote, more money for Israel after Congress had already passed a bill to give them another $40 billion in U.S. military aid. And we're supposed to act like these elections are real. He's not holding up no sign saying more aid for our own people, the people of his own state, is he? They're a footnote. They're a stage prop. They're a diving board to where he can launch off. He can do a nosedive once again into the pool of how we got to support Israel. I'm not pretending. We're supposed to pretend these elections are oh so important. You remember that the old AIPAC put up on their own website? I think it was on their own Twitter feed or something. And it was something like bragging about like 90-something percent of candidates that AIPAC supported won re-election. You see, pro-Israel policy is good policy. The tone deafness of what they're saying. It's in your face now. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't need to be brought up. That's why I don't talk about it. I don't. I very seldom talking about it today just because it's just sometimes you just need to go ahead, I guess, and point out the obvious. But I really, all in all, I have no interest in talking about this. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, sure, you sit there and talk about, hey, look, you need to really look at how much these, you know, why is it everybody that runs for president has to put the little hat on and go over and kiss the wall? What's up with that? Why do you have politicians such as Nancy Pelosi sitting there at the AIPAC thing and sitting before these people and talking about even if the U.S. falls in on itself, we'll still make sure Israel gets all their money? Maybe that's a little weird because people weren't, it wasn't in their face. You know, you're telling people something they might not know about. You know, there's a point to it. There ain't no point to it now. If you can't see this, this interview was on Sean Hannity. Normie Conservative Central. It's in your face. If you don't see it now, you're either stupid or you just don't want to see it. There's no point. I'm not going to sit here and waste my breath most of the time. I guess I'm wasting my breath today. But just because this is an example of how in your face it is, how just they don't care. They don't care to use a tragedy in your own country, much less your own state, and sit there as a politician and use that as a jumping off point to once again, for the six millionth time, bring up the Holocaust and talk about how poor Israel is just surrounded. They're just surrounded by all these other people who hate them for absolutely no reason. It's like if you knew somebody and they live in this town and you defended them. This poor guy lives in this town, and every single person in the town he lives in hates his guts, and it's everybody else's fault. They're not doing anything. We know. We've seen. There's no covering up. Look, this genocidal behavior that they're doing against the Palestinians, you can't cover that up. I mean, they have this vast control over the media, and the Western media just doesn't cover it now. The mainstream Western media doesn't cover it at all. You know, I pointed out on the Friday show that the Israeli ground offensive again in Lebanon is failing because it's radio silence from the mainstream media in the U.S. They're not talking about it. Their refusal to talk about it is very telling. They refuse to talk about what Israel has done to the Palestinians, Gaza, and the West Bank. They moved it over to the West Bank too, not to the extent that they've done to Gaza. But the world sees it. I mean, you can't, that level of destruction, of intentional, wanton slaughter, you can't cover it up. I don't care how much media control you have, because we have the internet, people are going to know what's going on. People see it. You can't hide it. And then you have these politicians that run around defending that. They sit there and talk about how they're just defending themselves. It's out in the open now. They're not even being subtle. You know? I mean, I'm sure they still go around and say you're anti-Semitic or something to point it out. But I mean, it's there in the open. I mean, it's the elephant it's the literal elephant in the room now. You can call people names for pointing out there's this elephant in the room, but everybody literally sees it now. See, it was easier 5-10 years ago when everybody didn't see it to dismiss that person. But now, I mean, the elephant is destroying the room, walking around in it. You can't really effectively call people names to silence them. Call people names and say it's not true, it's disinformation, it's whatever. Fake news, when it's in your face. It's undeniable. And it's undeniable the sycophant levels that these politicians sink to grovel to a foreign nation. It's a foreign nation. Country. You know, it doesn't matter. They call you these names to silence you. They say, oh, it's anti-Semitism. You're just fueled by anti-Semitism. It's a foreign country. It wouldn't matter what that country was. If the country in question was not Israel, but Brazil, I've got nothing against Brazil. I just pulled you out of the hat, Brazil. Don't take it personally. I could have picked anybody, but you got picked. If the foreign country in question was Brazil and not Israel, any thinking person, myself included, would have a problem with it. You have this slavish loyalty to a foreign country by politicians who are supposed to represent the people of this country. You are literally being ruled over by foreigners. If the people who are supposed to represent you are instead representing and promoting and sending your money that they collect to this foreign country as tribute, what else do you call it? They're paying tribute with your money, so they get a kickback. Look, it doesn't matter that it's Israel. If it was Brazil, you would still have a problem. You would say, you're not an anti-Brazilian. You would say there's a problem. Our government is obviously being owned by the people of Brazil.
But see, since it's Israel, they throw this anti-Semitism tag at you. Look, it's a foreign country. Why is a foreign country? Forget who occupies that country for just a moment. Why is a foreign country? Why are all of our politicians demonstrating for everybody to see? You know, I don't usually do this. I purposely played the audio clip, and hopefully it came out. When I go back and editing, if it didn't come out very well, I'll try to clean it up a little bit. But I purposely, and I don't normally do that, I purposely played the audio clip so you could hear it yourself. I could have just read the quote. They had it here in the article, which is normally what I do. But I thought it would make maybe a little more impact to hear this person in their own words slavishly serving a foreign country. Again, forget for a minute who the people are that inhabit that foreign country, because in a sense, it's irrelevant. The problem is your politicians are showing or demonstrating a slavish loyalty to a country, not their own, to a foreign country. How does anybody see that and not see that as a problem? Why is it that you should be called names and accused of whatever for pointing out that your government has this demonstrable loyalty to another country? And yet, here we are, in the midst of yet the most important election year ever, among countless in my lifetime, and you're getting the usual crap. Team R wants you to talk about the illegals at the border. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. That's what they want to talk about. I've mentioned several times the ridiculous ads here in Texas. Ted Cruz's ads are all about protecting women's sports from transgenders. It's laughable. Yeah. The Democrat candidate has a cringe ad about the extremists from the right want to keep women from being able to slaughter their babies. And then having this woman that looks like, you know, that person from HR that you don't want to deal with lecturing you through her teeth on TV. And yet nobody wants to talk about why all of them have a slavish loyalty to a foreign country. A foreign country that is committing genocide for the whole world to see. Now they're bombing Irish peacekeepers now because they're in the way in Lebanon. Also, something else the mainstream media isn't talking about. They're doing that, of course, because they're making no headway against Hezbollah in their ground invasion. So they want to take over these. They want to attack the UN and run them out and say, look what we captured. Look, we're making some headway. They're trying to make some headway somewhere. The UN is an easier target than Hezbollah. They'll talk about abortion. They'll talk about illegals at the border. They'll talk about anything under the sun. But by golly, they're not going to talk. They're not going to talk about their own slavish loyalty to a foreign country. And yet, they're still going to try to convince you for the umpteenth time that this is the most important election ever. The election's already been determined. You look at the presidential side of it. Trump and Harris are basically trying to outdo each other on who's going to support Israel more. I mean, there it is. You know, Trump is up there every time he talks. He goes up before these Jewish groups and goes on and on about what he's going to do for Israel, promising them this, promising them that, promising them that. Harris is no better. Why? Why do they all have a slavish loyalty to a foreign country? And since that's where their loyalty lies, why are we all expected to play along? Why are we all expected to pretend that they actually care about the people in this country? To pretend that these elections that you're voting as actually going to matter. I'm going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining today. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. You want to check it out, of course. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. as I call it, a free college lecture. You get a college lecture at absolutely no charge. When you consider what college tuition costs, that's something. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday with his geopolitical-focused Daily Nationals program. Always a treat. And I plan to be back here with you on Friday to wrap up your week with the Friday Daily Nationals. So, again, I hope you have a good week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.